I'm going to go fairly quickly. If you notice that we started, it says beginning of a new year, because we started this right at the 1st of January. We thought this is a charge and a challenge. It's a charge and a challenge to think about 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10. And here's the thing to remember. Paul is at the end of his life. He has written 13 letters in the New Testament. This is the last one. This is number 13. He's in prison in Rome. He's in a hole in the ground. He knows he's going to die. He knows his life is over. He's writing to Timothy, and what we would say is this. What do you think is important when you know your life is over? What do you want to leave behind? What do you want to tell? And, of course, he tells Timothy in chapter 2 especially, he says, you know, you've got to be ready to take the truths and pass them on to other people. Here's the outline. We said this. 2, 1 through 10 breaks down this way. The charge is to teach others. That's verses 1 and 2. Then how to do this. It gives illustration three aspects in verses 3 through 7, which has to do with the farmer and the soldier and the athlete. And then the last part is the purpose. And we really got to about verse 9 and 10. So that's really where we are. I just want to run through it so that you can get the idea. Well, the first aspect is the charge. And that is, what are we to do? And he says, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ and teach others. He talks about grace, and we can go through those two slides very quickly. One is grace for salvation, and then grace for the Christian life. So he said, be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. And then he gives the charge that's specific, and that is to teach others the things that Paul had taught him. We spent one whole Sunday school lesson on this whole issue, and that is to take the things that we've been taught, and we entrust these to faithful people who are able to teach others as well. We talked a little bit about it this morning, how Jesus chose the 12, and the 12 were going to be the men that were going to carry on the ministry after him. In a sense, when you take what you've been taught and you pass it on to others who will be able to teach others, you're doing the same thing. You're saying, listen, I'm not going to be here forever, and I want people to know the truths of the Bible so they can turn around and teach other people the truths of the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 2:2 is a great verse. He says, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He just says, take the things that I've taught you, and then you entrust these and teach these to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. And I think that's a key. And we raised two questions, or we raised a question and then gave some points about it. We said, who are you equipping? Who are you training? And you could say, I don't know how to train anybody. And then we would say, okay, then you get into one of our 412s or our 2-2 or get in one of our CBI classes. Get somewhere where you can be taught. And so you can be getting truth that you can say, okay, now I'm beginning to put the truths together so I can teach others. And then the second thing we said to do is to pray. Pray for the opportunities. There are people all around us, whether they're our family or our friends or neighbors or whatever, that we'd have opportunities to do that. So that was the very first aspect of it. Then we said, okay, that's the charge. How do you do that? And he gave three aspects of how to do that. He said the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. And then he started with the soldier, and he said, as a soldier, and I think we go on, I think the next is the priorities. And he said, suffer hardship as a good soldier. No soldier in active service entangles themselves with the everyday affairs of life. And he bottom line says, what you do as you go through life is you don't get so caught up in this world, but you live your life based on the fact that you want to live for Jesus Christ and to serve him. So your priority is not this world, but your priority is living for Jesus Christ and to please him. And I think that's the first step in all this, because it's going to take a commitment to do what we're talking about doing. It's a commitment of your life. And so you've got to decide, do I just want to go through life and live in this world, or do I want to please Jesus Christ and live for him? That was the aspect of the soldier. Then the next thing was the athlete. And he said, in the athlete, it's discipline. You have to live by the rules. And he said this, any athlete who competes in the games, he doesn't get the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And we said the next aspect is we have to live by the scripture. We're going to make an impact for Christ. We're going to be able to teach others. We're going to pass on the truth. We're going to make that kind of impact for Jesus Christ. You're going to have to live by the scripture. You're going to have your life based on God's word. And we've talked about that for years at our church, that the emphasis is the word of God, that we've got to study it. We've got to know it. We've got to apply it. We've got to pass it on. As Ezra, remember, Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would practice it, and he would teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. It's Ezra 7:10. Ezra said, I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to live out the Bible, and I'm going to pass on the Bible. That's what we have to do. And you have to make that decision. We said this over and over, that the Christian life does not just happen. In fact, if you decide the Christian life is going to just happen, it won't happen at all. It'll happen to you. You will go the other way. Either as a believer, you are growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, or you're going the other way. You don't stay neutral. You're not in just some holding pattern as a Christian. You're either growing to be like Christ, or you're going the other way. And so you have to make a decision. You have to say, I'm going to walk worthy of the calling which I've been called. You have to decide that I'm going to stop letting sin reign in my mortal body, and I'm going to live by the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to decide to do that. And that's what it's all about. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, so powerful in the Christian life, because he flat out just says, you've got to choose to live for Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says that he is working in us both to will and to work of our good pleasure. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's Philippians chapter 2. He didn't say work for your salvation. He said, work it out. You're a saved person. Work out in your life the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. So that was the second thing, and that's the living by the Scripture. So we seek to have the right priority to serve Jesus Christ and to please Him. Second is we live by the Word of God. The third illustration was the farmer, the hard-working farmer, and it was the faithfulness. In fact, he said in verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. There will be rewards. And that's a key thing that we really wanted to just talk about. If you work hard, if you live for Jesus Christ, there will be rewards. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is what? Not in vain. You're going to be rewarded. When you stand before Jesus Christ, what will he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. 1 John 2 says you could stand before Jesus Christ and be ashamed at his coming. So if you don't serve him and live for him now, you will be ashamed when you stand before him. It has nothing to do with your eternal life. Your eternal life is a gift. These are rewards, and it comes from service. So as the hardworking farmer, we're to be faithful and to do those things. And so here's what we see. The charge. Take what you know, pass it on to others. How do you do it? Well, you do it by not getting so tied up into this world, but pleasing your Savior. You do it as they live by the Scripture, and you do it to be faithfully serving so He will reward you. So it's some powerful things there. Now, the bottom line, verse 7, he ends up saying, now consider what I say to you, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. He's saying, you need to think about this, because this is that important. And oftentimes we don't think about it. In fact, what most people say is the job of the Christian is evangelism. The job of the Christian is discipleship, which is evangelism and training. It is to lead people to Christ and train them and equip them. And that's what 2 Timothy 2:2 says. Take the things you've been taught and entrust these to other people who will be able to teach others as well. And so the bottom line is take what we've been taught, pass it on, have the right priority, have the right discipline, have the right living by the rules, being faithful, all of those kind of things. When I say the rules, I mean by the Word of God. I'm not talking about a set of rules. That's the legalism we saw on Sunday morning with the Pharisees. When I say living by the rules, I mean the rules of the Scripture, the Bible, the truths and principles from God's Word. With that in mind, we get to the third part, which is where we really ended. And what's the whole purpose of this? Why do we do that? It's for the sake of others. And in verses 8, 9, and 10, he deals with that. He talks about Jesus Christ first in verse 8. Remember this, and we talked about it last week, but he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Now, his point about Jesus, he said, I just want you to remember this, that Jesus Christ became a person. He was descendant of David, and he rose from the grave. He died and rose again. That's the gospel message, that God became a person, died on the cross, paid for sins, and rose again. Now, he puts it real simple there. He says, just remember Jesus, who was risen from the dead, a descendant of David, according to my gospel. But the good news message is that Jesus is God who was a descendant of David. He became a human being, and he died on the cross and rose from the grave. That's what he's talking about. So when people start dealing with us and they say things like, well, what is your message? What are you supposed to tell people? You tell them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and all who will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It is that simple. That's our message. And so he said, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. And then he says, and we saw this last week, for which I suffer hardship, even unto imprisonment as a criminal. But the Word of God is not imprisoned. He said, even though I'm living for Jesus Christ, I'm making an impact for Christ, what happens is I suffer hardship. I got thrown into prison. Paul's been in prison a number of times. I mean, we know that he wrote four letters when he was in prison the first time when he was in Rome, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And now this is at least his second time in prison that he actually talks about. But he says that other times he was imprisoned and he was beaten with rods and he was shipwrecked. He spent a day and a night in the deep. He's been in danger in the city and in danger in the country, in danger from the Jews, in danger from the Gentiles. I mean, he talked about all that. And here he says, I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as if I was a criminal. What had he done wrong? Stood for Jesus Christ. There are parts of the world today that if you stand for Jesus Christ, they might kill you. Now here, you stand for Jesus Christ, they might make fun of you. So we all heard about it, and we don't want to stand for Jesus Christ and let people make fun of us. You stand for Jesus Christ, even in this community, there'll be some people who will not like what you do. If you stand for Jesus Christ on that campus, there'll be people against you. So stand for Jesus Christ and be ready for it. He says, I suffer imprisonment as a criminal, but I love this last part. The word of God is not imprisoned. You can never stop the Bible. You can never stop the word of God. Can't stop it. It's alive and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. It always accomplishes the purpose, never comes back void. It is profitable. It is the truth. It is everything. So you don't ever have to worry about it. Just give out the word. It will go do what it's supposed to do. It's like a roaring lion. It just is powerful. Well, what's the purpose? For this reason, I endure all these things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ, and with it, eternal glory. He says, I do it for the sake of those who are chosen. For some people want to say it the elect, but the idea that I think is there. He's saying, I'm doing this for the sake of those who are going to believe in Jesus Christ. They are chosen in Christ. Every one of us who believe in Jesus, we've been chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. Being chosen in Christ means we're in the body of Christ. And he says, I do this for the sake of those who believe in Jesus, so that they will believe in him. I go out with a message so they will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the key. Now, notice something, that I want to explain something quickly to you. Notice what he says here at verse 10. He says, for this reason I endure all these things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. When we see the word salvation, much of the time, in fact, almost most people, for most of the time, whenever they see the word salvation, they think of what we call eternal life salvation. Whenever you see the word salvation, you say, oh, you mean like going to heaven. But the Bible uses the term salvation in a lot of ways. The Greek word is sozo, which means to deliver. It can mean a physical deliverance. It can mean that you fell down in a hole and somebody saved you out of that hole. But when the Bible talks about salvation and God's plan for mankind, he has a threefold plan of salvation. If you've ever been in the 4:12 or the 2:2, especially the 2:2, we teach this. There's an aspect that he saves you in the past. There's an aspect that he's saving you in the present. And there's an aspect that he will save you in the future. He saved you in the past. It's called justification. When you believed in Jesus Christ, his Savior, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved. You have been saved, past tense. Every one of us in this room, when you believed in Jesus Christ, his Savior, you have been saved. So you've been delivered from separation from God, and he has saved us. That's called justification. There is another aspect, that you are being saved even today, when the Bible says, work out your own salvation. He's not talking about try to get yourself saved. He's saying live out the Christian life. That's called sanctification, where you're being set apart, where you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's salvation. So you are being saved. And then there's a third aspect of salvation, which is future, which is often called glorification, in which he will save you when he comes back, gets us, changes his body into a glorified body, and we live forever with him, starting in the earthly kingdom and then on into the eternal state. That's going to happen. That's called glorification. And the Bible says in one of the Gospels, or one of the Second Peter, he says, your salvation is now nearer than ever before. And he's not talking about eternal life salvation. He's talking about your salvation with Christ when he comes to get you, your future salvation. So when he says here, I do this so that they may obtain the salvation, he's not talking about just eternal life salvation. He's not talking about just Christian life, and he's not talking about just the future aspect. He's talking about all of them. He's made it a lump thing. He said, I do this so that people can obtain salvation, which is in Jesus Christ, and with it, eternal glory. He's talking about the whole plan. When I teach the 2:2, I call it God's three-phase plan of salvation. You have been saved, justification. You are being saved, sanctification. You will be saved, glorification. It's all the grace of God. And so all of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus, you have been saved. And since we have been saved, we are being saved. as we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. And then one day we will be saved when He comes in the moment of the twinkle of an eye, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and reign will be caught up together with Him. Thus we'll always be with the Lord. So he says, why do I do this? Why do I take what I've been taught and pass it on to others? Why do I not get entangled in this world but seek to please Jesus Christ? Why do I live by the Word of God? Why am I working hard and being faithful so I'd be rewarded? Why do I do this? For the sake of others. We're not here for ourselves. Now, the flesh always tells us, what am I going to do today? What's in it for me? What's the best for me? What do I want to do? But the truth is, we're not here for us. We're here for Jesus Christ and for the sake of others. So, are you going to serve yourself or others? Are you going to serve Jesus Christ? Are you going to touch lives for Christ? See, when you serve Christ, you're serving others. When you're serving others, you're serving Christ. That's how it works. So he says, for this reason I endure all these things for the sake of those who are the chosen ones, so that they may obtain the salvation, past, present, future, which is in Christ Jesus, is always in Christ, being found in Christ, I'm a new creation, and with it, the eternal glory. Are we here to have things for ourselves or things for others? I think the Philippians passage where Paul says, you know, don't look out so much for the things of yourself, but for the things of others. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. So as you pass on truth, we're to touch lives for Jesus Christ. Well, what have we seen in this study over these weeks? I think there's some applications at the very end. I wanted to touch on those, and then we'll open it up for any questions you might have about this, and then about any questions you might have about anything, if you want to. I think at the bottom of the next to the last page, it says, we are here for the service of God to others, not for ourselves. That's really a key. Well, let's think about the applications. And the first one, let's pass on God's truth to others. That's the key. That's what we're to do. Now, we got to keep the chain going, right? Somebody taught you, or somebody is teaching you. That's the way it works. The bottom line is, we get taught, and then we teach others. Now, we know that you can study the Bible on your own and learn, and you should. But there is this aspect that the truths that you're learning, other people are helping you understand those as well. So let's pass on God's word to others. We keep the chain going. We equip the saints to do the ministry. And so the question to ask all of us, whose life are you impacting? Who are you teaching? Who are you passing the truth on to? And if you were to say nobody, the question we might ask is, why not? I don't know enough. Yes, you do. You know a lot. We know a lot. You know the gospel. You know some of the great truths of the Christian life. You know the Bible. You may not think you know it as well as you should, and you don't. None of us do. We are in the process of growing. But you're ready. And if you don't feel ready, then get ready. Get yourself equipped. Get yourself trained. It's so powerful. I want you to understand, it's always done in God's power. It's always done in God's power. It's not you. It's not me. It's the power of God through us. We're just the instrument. We're the vessel. We say, Lord, I just want you to use my life. When you get to teach the Bible, when you get to pass on truths to people, just remember, it's God through you. It's not you. He gets all the glory. You don't ever say, hey, look what I did. You didn't do it. It's the grace of God through you. He gets all the glory. It's always done in His power. But there's a second thing. You can't pass on what you don't know. And so you're going to have to study. My advice is, if you say, I don't feel ready. Okay, come to CBI and take a 412, or come to CBI and take the 2-2, or get in one of the other CBI classes, or get in one of the small groups, or get into a Bible study, get into something where you can be taught, and then also have your own personal study. And if you say, I'm not sure I know how to study the Bible for myself, you can get that. The 412 will teach you that, but I will teach you that. If you come to me and just say, JB, would you spend an hour with me and just show me how to get in the Scripture yourself, I will do that anytime. So you can know the Scripture, so you can apply the Scripture, so you can pass on the Scripture. Remember this, nothing can stop the Bible. Nothing. Once you know it, once you begin to pass it on, they can throw you in prison, but the Word of God can never be stopped. It can't be stopped because it's alive and powerful. It goes right to the heart of the issue. So don't ever worry about that. Pray for the opportunities. Look for the opportunities of people around you. Say, Lord, give me somebody. Let's pass on the truth to others. The second application is, let's be faithful men and women. And that is, as a soldier, we've got to have the right priority. The right priority is to please our Savior. That's what it's all about. When you wake up in the morning, you should say, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. I want to please you. I want to go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's the key. I've told you my story over and over. But I trusted Christ when I was 19. I thought you had to be good to go to heaven. I wandered into Bible study. They shut the door. I couldn't get out. I didn't want to stay in there. I thought you didn't have to go to church. I was right, but I thought you didn't have to have anything to do with any of that. I thought I just was going to go to heaven because I did more good than bad, but I found out the truth of Jesus Christ. I trusted him as my Savior. And so at age 19, I know for sure, knew for sure that moment I have eternal life. But I didn't grow. I was excited for about 6 months, and then I didn't grow. I didn't really get connected with the church. I didn't get connected with a small group. I didn't get connected much with anything. And so for a number of years, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, I just kind of drifted along. In fact, I even did some things that were wrong. In fact, I did more things that were wrong after I became a believer than before I became a believer. But what changed me? I came to a point that I decided that I would live for Jesus Christ. And this is what I'm talking about when we say, let's be faithful men and women. Let's decide that our lives will count for Christ. Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your lives as living sacrifices. And about 1975, 76, 6 or 7 years after I trusted in Christ, I went home one night after football practice because I was coaching at Mississippi State. And I said, Lord, I'm miserable, because I was miserable. And he was disciplining me because I had sin in my life. I'm not telling you what I did. But anyway, and I said to him, I give you my life. Now, this is not salvation. This is discipleship. I trusted Christ as my Savior years ago. That didn't cost me anything. But that night I said, I give you my life. I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. From this moment on, I want my life to count for you. Never been the same. And I've taught this before. You will never be the same. If you haven't done this, you need to do this. If you're going to make a decision, you're going to live your life for Christ, and you're going to pass on these truths, and you're going to know, then you're going to have to decide, I want to be a faithful person. And to do that is you say to God, I give you my life. You have to have the right priority, and the priority is to live for Christ, to serve him, and to please him. And so if you never have, even today, you can, right where you're sitting, or you can go home, and you can say, Lord, I've decided. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want my life to count for you. I want to know the Bible. I want to live by the Bible. I want to be used by you. I want you to take the gifts, talents, and abilities that I have, and I want you to use them, and I just want you to get all the glory. You'll never be the same. You're going to have to do it if you want to make an impact. Now, if you don't want to make an impact, you want to stand before Jesus Christ someday and go, well, I should have done a lot more. Yeah, I should have. Yeah, and or you can stand before him and he'll say, well done. Well done, good and faithful. Because it just counts. Faithfulness is the key. Because as the soldier, we may have the right priorities. As the athlete, be disciplined. And when I say be disciplined, it's the Bible. You have to know the Scripture. You have to live by the Scripture. Personal study. Every one of us in this room ought to have personal study where you dig the Bible yourself, and then you get in a small group study, and you do all kind of things. I mean, you teach others, and it's just incredible. And the third thing, as the farmer, be faithful. Be faithful, steadfast, unmoving, always abounding. 1 Corinthians 4:2, be faithful. That's the key. The right priorities, living by the Word of God, being a hardworking, faithful believer. That's how you're going to make an impact. And we remember the ultimate purpose, the salvation and training of others. And I use salvation there as eternal life salvation, and then the training, which is the Christian life and on. That's why we're here. Remember Jesus Christ, what did he do? He became a human being, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, gives eternal life to all who believe. And we lead people to Christ, and then we train them, equip them, we give them truth, and they pass it on to others. Live for Christ, not for self. Live for the glory of God. So may we be faithful soldiers, athletes, farmers, strong in the grace, and proclaim with Jesus Christ the goal of salvation and the training of others. Let me pray, and then it looks like we got about 3, 4, 5 minutes, and so we'll open it up for any question dealing with this, or we'll open it up with any question at all. And if you don't have any questions, then I'm going to start some other study, and it might take us another hour, so you better have some question or something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for these great truths that we've seen in 2 Timothy. And Lord, we just, as we sort of start this new year, we want our lives to count for you. We want to pass on your truth. That means we know it's not our power. power that does it. It's you through us. We know that we can't pass on what we don't know. So we want to know the Word of God. We want to be faithful men and women. As soldiers, we want to have the right priority, and that's to please you and to live for you. So may we offer our lives. As the athlete, we want to live, be disciplined, to live by the Word of God. And as the farmer, we want to be hardworking, steadfast, and faithful. We just want to do that. And our ultimate purpose is that people come to know Jesus and then grow in the grace and knowledge of salvation, and that they would know Him and they would pass on truths as well. So, Lord, that's what we want to do. I thank You for this body of believers, Lord. We know that whenever you look at the Scripture, it's always a challenge. Whenever we look at the Scripture, it's never that you can just look at it and say, thank you. We look at it and we are challenged to obey it. So, Lord, as we see 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10, may we know it. And may we live it out. And may we pass it on. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.